Jamie Lee Grace. Welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio. Hi, and welcome to the show. It's Jamie Lee Grace, and I think this is a topic that I've covered several times on the show, but it's always worth looking at it again. We're talking about meditation, but this time we're going to be talking about how we can make meditation really fit into our lives. I'm sure you will have heard me say before, if you've listened to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, or if you follow my work within the Sober Club, that I, for many years, was convinced that meditation was a wonderful tool and super important, but not for me. I genuinely figured that, you know, I would tell other people about it, but I couldn't do it. I just simply couldn't do it. And you know, I kind of knew everything there was to know about meditation. Or I'd interviewed many leading gurus on the topic because I was a Hay House author and presenter of Hay House Radio. And yet when it came for me to actually sit in meditation, to sit in quietness, I just couldn't do it. I really couldn't. And it was only when I quit alcohol that I suddenly started to feel, okay, well, maybe this is possible. And then when someone taught me that actually meditation does not have to be sitting for 20 minutes cross-legged, you know, levitating, it can be many things, I suddenly was opened up to a world where there was a possibility for me of meditation. So I love this topic, and particularly the fact that we're looking at ways of bringing meditation just into your life in small ways, in micro ways, as the title of this book says. So I'm going to be chatting with Nikki Roscoe, who is a well-being expert and practitioner. She does a whole bunch of really fascinating things, actually. And this book is lovely, Micro Meditation, Moments of Calm for a Happier, Healthier Life. Unusually, it's full of funky illustrations, quite unusual for books now. And there's some wonderful, you know, sort of dip-inable suggestions. I love the one about frustrating situations, you know, when we're kind of stuck in traffic and our mind is going crazy. And she gives little suggestions as to how you can have a micro meditation even in that moment. Of course, it's not going to involve closing your eyes, you know, in the traditional sense of meditation. But these are ways of bringing you back to mindfulness. And I love what she's done with this book. So you're going to have a chance to hear this interview very soon. Just before I bring you that, depending on when you're listening to this show, I just want to mention a few events that are going to be happening October 24th to the 27th. So I'm part of a really special self-care retreat at Homefield Grange Spa. It's really going to be special because I'm going to be sharing so many tools around bringing yourself back to balance, about regulating your nervous system. You don't have to be sober. It's not a sobriety retreat, although, of course, there's no alcohol across the weekend. But we will cover so many different aspects of well-being and how to really nurture yourself, how to take care of yourself, how to really know what to do to regulate that nervous system. So I really hope some of you will be able to join us 24th to the 27th of October at Homefield Grange Spa. If you go to thesoberclub.com and click on events, you'll see the little icon there and you can click on that and hopefully join us. And then into November, I'm going to be speaking at the I Write Festival, Glasgow. That's A-Y-E, I Write Glasgow. And I'm alongside some incredible literary people, lots of amazing authors on the bill. I'm going to be chatting on Sunday 9th of November, 12:45, all about the new edition of my book, Happy, Healthy, Sober, Ditch the Booze and Take Control of Your Life. So we have an updated new edition with some new content, and I'm going to be chatting all about that. Plus, I'm sure the memoir From Wham to Woo, A Life on the Mic, will get a mention as well. So that's the I Write Festival. And again, you'll find that on thesoberclub.com. And then moving into December, really excited that we have a special Sober Club Christmas event. It's going to be a live alcohol free life podcast recording with a special guest, Andy Ramage. And Andy has put together an incredible documentary that will be released next year, Going Dry. I think they interviewed me. I don't know whether I'll actually pop up or whether I got left on the cutting room floor. But either way, the film is going to be a great reflection, I think, of alcohol free life in the UK. Going to be a really interesting one to watch, I think. So, if you can come and join us for that, it's going to be at Club Soda in London in Covent Garden. If you're not aware of Club Soda, it's an absolutely amazing alcohol-free bar in Covent Garden. So, you can literally just rock up and order an alcohol-free drink and sit at the bar and absolutely no stress or pressure. It's really amazing. And of course, they sell bottles of alcohol-free drinks as well. So it's like an off license, but without the off, if you get what I mean, or without the license. So we're going to be there. And again, if you go to thesoberclub.com, click on events, then you'll find information for that. Tickets will sell out fast for that one. It's Monday, December the 8th, for that live podcast recording with special guest Andy Ramage. Tickets will sell out fast because the venue is really small, so we can only have a small number of people. If you're thinking of coming along to any of these events, by the way, bear in mind it's really okay to come on your own. I know when I first quit alcohol, I wanted to connect with other people who'd quit the booze, but I felt really nervous somehow. I don't know what I was expecting, but I remember going to an event hosted by Club Soda. And walking around the car park for about 20 minutes before I went in, I felt like a kind of nervous schoolgirl before my first teenage party or something. It was just bizarre. But actually, you really can come on your own. If you're nervous, just drop me a quick message and let me know that you're going to be coming. I'll make sure we meet you and that you feel included. You absolutely will, because sober people are kind. They're really kind. So I promise you'll have a good time. And it's totally non-judgmental. It's a great way of introducing friends and colleagues to the idea of choosing to be alcohol free. It's really special. So I hope that you can come along to that. And also then just to mention for those people listening who've quit the booze and now you're starting to think about what's next for you. Perhaps you're thinking about channeling a new purpose, something new, different you want to do with your life. Then lots of people do, they're kind of become passionate about sobriety and then they start to want to help others and want to go on another path. And that's why I offer the Sober Coach training. It's a fully comprehensive training, but you can actually complete the whole training from start to finish in as little as 8 weeks. That will, of course, depend on your level of sobriety. You going through the motions, going through the course, but it is entirely possible to do it within 8 weeks. So if you're feeling excited about your sobriety and you want to share it, it could be the perfect training for you. If you don't want to necessarily change careers or work with other people, but you just really want to lay the foundations for your own well-being, it's still the right course for you. Of course, I would say that, wouldn't I? But it really is everything that you need to lay those foundations for your own transformation and to be able to feel completely authentic and confident to work with other people. The training starts with a couple of days in person, if you can come to the UK, 2 days in Hertfordshire, followed by 5 weeks of sessions online. If you really can't get to the UK to have that amazing experience, then you can complete the whole training online as well. We're taking registrations now for our January training. It's the 31st of January to the 1st of February 2026. The numbers are tiny because it's very much one-to-one work with me. So we really do help you get your business going. It's not just here's a bunch of info and then we leave you in the lurch. It's ongoing mentoring and support. So if something that might be of interest to you, just drop me a message. You can find me very easily on social media at Janie Lee Grace, or go to thesoberclub.com and click on the contact form there. And we'll have a conversation to see if it feels right for you. As I say, we have a tiny group of people. It's maximum 12. in the group. So there's an awful lot of one-to-one support for you to do this training to get your business going if that's something of interest. There's no previous experience needed apart from your own experience of knowing how it feels to want to focus on living your best life without alcohol, knowing how it feels to have quit alcohol. And of course, I must stress that the training is for you to work with, as we commonly know the term, grey area drinkers, people who have been drinking more than they want to. It doesn't equip you to work with people who are clinically dependent. That would be a different kind of training altogether. It's to work with people who, perhaps like yourself, certainly like me, just ended up getting caught in that alcohol trap. We're not at rock bottom, but still caught in the alcohol trap. And it's incredibly rewarding work to be able to help people to break free from that. So all of that, go to thesoberclub.com and get in touch if you're interested. And right now, enjoy the interview.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
My guest is Nikki Roscoe, health and wellbeing practitioner, author. I've got this lovely book in front of me, Micro Meditation. This is beautiful for anyone
Oh,
who is watching the
thank
vid.
you.
This looks lovely. We'll get into all of this. But before we do, just tell me a little bit about your background. People always find people have usually got a bit of a story that led them to doing what they're doing now.
Oh, yeah, there's always a story. Well, first of all, it's great being on here with you.
Thank
So,
you.
for inviting me. This is lovely. And wow, my background. Well, one of the things that I was doing that really got me into this, even more so before, because I was in the health and wellness industry for many years, and actually the fashion and beauty industry as well, because I worked for Company Magazine at National Magazine. So
Ah.
fitness and fashion and health and all those areas were just like, oh, I love it, I love it. And I started to feel unwell because I moved into the fitness area. So I was working for David Lloyd Clubs. I was head of fitness and aerobics and loving every moment of my life. And I was working on TV as a health and fitness presenter as well at the time, and radio. And all of a sudden, my voice and my speech went. I started to say, like, instead of elephant, I said hippopotamus. And
Oh no, how
things were
terrifying.
like, yeah, it was pretty scary, and I didn't know what was going on. But luckily, the presenter that I was working with that day was amazing, and she caught on immediately, and she just took over, and she was brilliant. So I found out I had a brain tumor,
Wow.
and it really did change things for me, because losing my speech meant that I couldn't carry on doing what I was doing on TV, on radio. It just meant everything had to stop. And even the fitness, because my coordination just was not doing what I wanted it to do. And what happened was, is that left me feeling depressed, not confident, really, really low. Life was, it couldn't have been worse, apart from I have my two beautiful children. So I have my beautiful kids, my Adam and my Gemma. But Gemma was 12 and just about to be 13. Adam was 16, going to do his GCSE. So it was quite a crucial time for my kids as well. And I was like, what am I going to do? I need to get out of this. I can't let this define me. I can't let this stop me getting on with my life. Walking was a challenge, speaking was a challenge, and just life in general was a massive challenge, but I had to get back. And so I was absolutely determined. I went and did pain management because I live with chronic pain, and I have three plates and six screws in my head, one of which is
Oh wow.
loose.
So you obviously had an operation for the brain tumor
I
and
have.
then medication as well, presumably.
I refused medication. They
Right, I
wanted to give
see.
me medication, but if they'd given me medication, I'd have been in bed or in the hospital 24/7 because I just wouldn't have been able to function. And I thought, no, there's got to be a way to do this without the medication. So I did the pain manage did the pain management. Really, really was fantastic, which inspired me to then become an international speaker. Because I just once I started speaking, that was it. There was no stopping me again. And what was even more brilliant is that I went and trained as a life coach, which was fantastic because it all helped me, but then I could help others because I knew that I'd gone through that experience myself. And then I trained as a master NLP practitioner. I did my practitioners, then I did my masters, which was just brilliant. Loved it. And then I went on to do Reiki and I trained as a Reiki healer and became a Reiki master and always loved working with crystals. And I became a crystal healer and then a crystal master teacher. So I teach Reiki, I teach crystal healing, and I do talking therapy with people from the experience that I've had and also with the life coaching and the NLP. And I just introduce everything, but that's how it all really came about to where I am now. And then I've written a few books, I've written several books, and then this one, The Micro Meditation, is my recent book because I realized how much, especially working with clients individually and teaching my students and seeing what I see and hearing what I hear from them, that they don't always have time to do long meditations. And one of the things I did was I went to America and I trained with Deepak Chopra, who for me was the meditation guru then. And I just learned so much from him. And then I got a qualification in teaching meditation. And so I thought, you know, because we don't have so much time in our lives, life's chaotic now and there's so much going on. Let's do something from 30 seconds to 2 minutes that we can do all day long, that we can just keep doing several times a day that will distract us, that will bring us back in the moment, whatever's going on in our life.
I love that. I mean, you're so right. I mean, over the years, you've probably heard me say on my podcast, but I literally, despite knowing everything there was to know about meditation and interviewing all the gurus, being a Hay House presenter and author, if you'd actually asked me about my own practice, I would say, oh, don't be ridiculous, because I thought it was for everyone else, not for me. And one of the main reasons I think that I couldn't, in inverted commas, do it, well, the main reason was I was drinking alcohol, so I was pouring poison in my head all the time. But apart from that, the other reason was that I just did not have the time, or I wasn't able to commit the time. I just wasn't. And it felt like another thing on the to-do list. And then, of course, even now we hear people very often, they'll say, well, if you're a, if you've got a normal, inverted commas, life, meditate for 20 minutes. If you've got a busy life, you need an hour. And we hear this all the time. And it just kind of fills me with like, oh, I can't do it. And it took absolutely ages before I worked with someone who said to me, well, have you got 5 minutes? I said, well, obviously I've got 5 minutes. Okay, well, just do 5 minutes. And if you've only got 1 minute, that will be better than nothing. And it literally changed my life, that perception. So I love what you've done. It's perfect,
Oh,
because
thank
and it
you.
literally is anything is better than nothing. It really is.
But you know what? If you're feeling panicky and you're anxious, and you know people just say breathe, but breathing really does help calm us down. It makes such a difference. It just in the moment, our parasympathetic nervous system will just calm as we take a deep breath. And as you may have seen in the book, I have different exercises, one of them being you place your hand on your tummy and your other hand on your heart. And you sort of, as you breathe in and you feel the movement of your tummy going in. And as you breathe out, you feel your tummy going out. And if you do that a couple of times, it just kicks in. It sets us into a different motion. And it's a distraction. That's what it is in the moment. And that is, for me, a meditation, because meditation is distracting us from everything that's going on in our lives and taking us into a more peaceful, calm place that gives us clarity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the fact that there are lots of suggestions in the book where it's all about bringing ourselves back to balance, isn't it, in the moment. And one of the things I'm always talking about is how we can, we know that our mind affects our body. We can have a thought and literally have a wobbly tummy, but we literally can do this the other way around. We can use our body to affect our mind. So we can actually make a choice. Okay, I'm going to put my body in a certain position. I'm going to a certain place, and that will change my thoughts. It's magical, really. Just before I dig further into the book, just going back on your on where you're at then. So what happened with the brain tumor? Where are you at now then?
So every few years, and sometimes every year, depending on how I'm feeling, I have an MRI scan and I'm checked to make sure that there's nothing there, but hopefully nothing will ever come back.
Right.
And I live with the chronic pain. It will never go away. I have lumps and bumps and it swells if I
There's
get.
nothing that can be done about that then. Is that because of the
Absolutely.
surgery?
Yeah, there's that. I
Right.
think it's because also I've got the plates and screws in there. And if they open me up, I could get infection and then I could end up, like they said at the time, you can end up like a vegetable. I would end up like that. And my surgeon at the time said, I'm not going to risk it. I don't want to do it. So
Right.
it's how I manage it. You can have pills, you can have whatever you need, which there was no way I was going to go down that route, or I was going to find a way to do it myself.
Right.
And that's what I've done. So exercise, you mentioned, our bodies and what we do, or touching anything. Exercise for me has been a godsend. It's been absolutely brilliant. Going out into nature, which I also mentioned in the book,
Yeah.
whatever the season, it doesn't matter. We can just get out there and breathe in the fresh air. And I know some people say, ridiculous, touch a tree, hug a tree, have your hands on a tree. The energy we get from nature.
No, absolutely. Trees are amazing.
Yeah,
Literally amazing, aren't they? Wow, that's
absolutely.
wonderful. So you're literally just you're well, obviously you've become an expert in pain management now because you're really living it, aren't you? Which is incredible, isn't it? And as you say, the power of the mind to actually bring down pain. It's quite interesting. I think I've spoken about it on the podcast before, but many years ago I worked with a nurse. We were just doing some stuff for her around. I was doing PR effectively, and she was a full-time nurse, but she had trained in mindfulness, and she wanted to bring mindfulness to her colleagues and the NHS and all the rest of it. I mean, God knows, is it needed? So stress reduction and mindfulness techniques. And she was, and then one day she just you was using mindfulness with one of her patients. And then she did her own little survey, as it were, as to how long it took to bring pain down in a patient who had pain, the process of looking at the notes, checking the weight and the correct medication, going to the cupboard, getting the right medication, administering the medication kicks in, versus doing some mindfulness with that patient. And well, you can imagine the results. It was incredible, just incredible. Literally within 5 minutes of focused mindfulness, the pain had reduced massively compared to the medication.
No, it's incredible. You know, when I wake up every morning, I tell my pain, I'm in control of you. You're not in control of me. So,
Yeah.
what we tell ourselves and the positive affirmations and what we do to help others, to tell others to do with positive affirmations, what they say to themselves, how they say it to themselves, makes such a huge, huge difference
Yeah.
to how we manage everyday life. It really does. So mindfulness is micro meditation. That's what it's all about as
Yeah.
well.
Yeah.
It's all about being in the moment, even when we eat, being mindful of how we eat.
Oh, I'm so guilty of that. I'm so naughty. I used to joke about holding dinner parties from 8 o'clock till 5 past. I'm terrible. I cannot eat mindfully. One of these
I get
days I'm gonna
that.
have to try that, aren't I?
But you know, if you're sitting at the table and I don't know, someone's having an argument or things are getting a bit heated or whatever, and it's like, oh, I really want to opt out of this. You literally just focus on, I don't know, your broccoli, potato, or whatever it
There's
is,
always
whatever.
work to be done, isn't there? Always work to be done. I love it. I love all of these suggestions. So if someone is listening and they're a little bit like, the way I was a few years ago, where they just thought, well, meditation, it's all very well, but it's not for me. What would be, what's the simplest thing that you would recommend that someone starts with? Someone who feels that they're much too chaotic and time poor, where would they start?
Do you know what I absolutely love? I absolutely love music. Because when we play a song or when we put music on that we really do love, it takes us out of whatever mood we're in the moment. So there's a song called Smile. I can't, it's not, it was not the Michael Bublé one. There's another one. And it just, every time I put it on with a client, it just made them smile. So every time I hear it, I think of them. And now they play it and they feel fantastic in the moment. The other thing is singing. I know we all might not be singers, but we can just suddenly start singing. My daughter inspired me, and I've got that in the book as well. She stood at the sink after putting the children to bed and feeling very overwhelmed, stressed, and tired, tidying everything up from the day. It had been a crazy time over the holidays, and she literally got the washing up brush. And she pretended it was a microphone and she started singing. So things like that are really, really
So in other words, forget about needing to sit cross-legged on your mat with a candle. I mean, that's lovely if you can do those things, and it really is lovely to be able to create a beautiful space for yourself. But often it's the fact that we haven't got the time to do that or the inclination to do that that stops us from doing anything. So what you're saying is much more, actually, you can view all kinds of everyday actions as
Anything.
a moment of meditation. Yeah, absolutely right. I love the music one. I'm always in our sober club member portal. We've got this fantastic session that we've called Movement Medicine, because I did this session with a shaman, and he talks about what he calls movement medicine. And he's just drums. He just gets his drum out, and we did it all
Love my
online,
drum.
and he drums for 15 minutes and just encourages everyone to shake. And it's very hard to hold on to stress and anxiety when you're literally just shaking your body. It's so good for you, isn't it? Just releasing
So good.
everything. And you can do the same thing with just putting a track on, of course, and shaking it all out. You literally, it's the dance like no one's watching, isn't it? I love it. It makes such a difference. Why did you decide to do the to do it to have the book illustrated? Because that's really unusual now. You don't see many books that are illustrated.
Well, my publishers, Seeko Books, are brilliant for illustrations.
Yeah, it's
They
brilliant.
are the best. I love it. I drive them mad. They send things back and forward. We send things all the time, but they are so good. For me, visualization is huge. So when you see something, it can be really inspiring rather than just in having the words. You know, all of us are different. All of us, some of us like visuals, some of us like to just read it. It just depends, or audio, whatever. But for me, it was so important that this was visual. And my other book as well, my Manifest Your Everything book, that is also very visual because they're known for doing that. And they are brilliant. But that's why I love it so much, because they really did what we say on the cover. They brought it all to life. And the butterfly for me brings it all to life as
Yeah, it's a
well.
beautiful cover. It's really lovely. In the I haven't seen the manifesting book. Is that are you talking there about how to manifest? Do you teach us how we can focus more of what we want?
That's this one.
Lovely. Lovely. That looks great.
Manifest your everything and love yourself and create your own dream life. So I
Amazing.
actually have a workshop for this as I do the micro meditation. But again, there's so much.
Lovely.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
So give us one tip from that book then on how can we manifest what we want. We hear a lot about this, don't we? And people talk a lot about, you know, cosmic ordering, as the expression used to be. I'm a really big believer in encouraging people to set an intention, you know, and obviously the what we focus on, we get more of, right? And so, you know, with the work that I do, I won't let anyone use the phrase giving up alcohol. No one's allowed to say that, you know, because we have to focus on everything we're gaining rather than, you know, because there's nothing to lose anyway. But, you know, I love anything to do with manifestation, but I do find lots of people find it very difficult. And I think perhaps the key is in your subtitle there, because it's about actually having enough love for yourself to believe you're worth whatever it is you think you want to manifest.
And the key to all this is finding a way, learning to release and let go of what you're holding on to, and being grateful for what you do have. The gratefulness is so important here. And looking at what you're not doing to take care of yourself is so important. But if you're holding on to things that have really hurt you, trauma, whatever that may be, then it's so important to do the work on yourself, to help yourself. So I have a workshop called Love Yourself and Manifest Your Dreams. And I have a big cauldron. And everybody writes down everything they want to let go of, everything they want to say goodbye to that hasn't served them in their life. And they put it all in the cauldron, and we go outside and we burn it. Yeah. And we watch everything burning, and we say goodbye to it. And of course, this isn't going to happen in an instant, but this is a part of the journey to making that change. It's a huge part of the journey to say, right, you know, I'm acknowledging it and I'm accepting it. And now I can start doing something about it. I can take action. So the acknowledgement, the accepting, and the taking action, they all come and align. And once you've done that, you need to start giving yourself that love, showing yourself that you can give yourself the nurturing that you need, whatever that may be. Whatever it may be, giving yourself the love with I love having a hand massage, giving myself my own hand massage with my favorite cream. In micro meditation, I put the hand massage in there because we don't realize how powerful it is.
Yeah, the power of touch. Yeah,
said at the beginning, just by very, very slowly massaging your hands and your fingertips. So by giving yourself love, using little aromatherapy oils, crystals, Reiki, all these different things can make such a difference to your life. And by talking yourself love, giving yourself the nice, you know, I can do this. I feel good about myself. I'm going to do this. Taking care of you is so important. And then once you've done that, all of a sudden there's a space that suddenly appears in your mind, and you think, wow, I'm feeling better. I feel that peace now, because that's where we want to get to.
Totally.
We want to get to a place where we feel that peace, where we feel that calm. And then, wow, this is what I really want. And when you really know what you want and you have that focus, it might not happen for 3 years. It might happen in a week. Who knows? It doesn't matter. Then you can focus on that, and it will come if it's meant to be.
It's so true. I've had a lot of experience working with, well, I used to do workshops and years ago, and I'll always remember we would have a bunch of, it was usually women, and I would say to them, what is it that you want? You know, it's a very simple question, but actually it isn't at all. And then they would usually answer, oh, I want my mum to get well, or oh, I want my, you know, daughter to get into the school that we hope she'll get into. And then I'd say, no, what do you want for you? You know, and it took, it took, several times of asking, and sometimes they would just burst into tears because they hadn't even considered that question in years, not in years. And actually, the power of that question was just too much, because actually honoring, if they were to honor what they might want for themselves, which they in most cases felt they didn't know anyway, but if they did know, it felt too outside of their reach to even name it, because there was that element of, well, I don't deserve it or whatever. And because so many people are such, inherently people pleasers, and they'll do anything for anyone else, and they'll be so kind to somebody else and so forgiving and so grateful and just everything for others, but not for themselves. It is incredible how we just leave ourselves out of the picture. It is literally incredible. I was reading a piece in the press the other day, just like a bit of science about how being a people pleaser can literally translate to a heart attack. I mean, literally.
I was just going to mention that actually, because that was brilliant. You said being a people pleaser can actually cause so much damage to you because you're not looking after yourself at
No,
all.
exactly.
You are completely torn. You're not happy. You're in a really bad space and place. And several people that I'm actually working with right now are people pleasers. They haven't been happy. They've really put themselves in a situation where everyone's coming to them to ask them to do things. And they're like, yes, of course, yes, of course. But hang on a minute, I haven't had time to do anything for myself. And as soon as they start to change, and I take people on journeys. So we go on different journeys to release, and we go into the computer of our brain, and we look at different situations that are going on in there, and we change the wiring. So we do a lot of rewiring. And as soon as they do this rewiring, it's absolutely amazing how they think, wow, I feel so much better. And somebody actually said to me yesterday, Nikki, I don't feel that I owe this person anything anymore. I feel that I can do what I want, and I'm really happy to advise them, or I'm really happy to say what I want to say. But actually, it's okay to go and do things for myself now.
Yeah, it's
I
called
don't
setting
need to
boundaries, isn't it? Which
setting
I used to
boundaries.
think only really mean people said no. I had absolutely zero boundaries. I used to say yes to absolutely everything and then feel really miserable.
No, I get that. I was a people pleaser at one point. And now, of course, we want to help people. Of course, it's not what you're doing now and everything, and what I do. We want to help people and do things, but we need to look after ourselves first.
Yeah, totally. Well, I love it. I mean, we could talk for hours. Actually, just tell me a little bit about the work that you do with crystals. For anyone who's not aware of the power of crystals, just give us a few little tidbits.
Wow. So crystals, the energy of crystals. I was going to say, I've got so many crystals on here. I'm a
Oh,
turquoise
lovely. It's
person.
beautiful.
Turquoise for protection and travel, and amethyst and pearl and citrine. A
Amazing.
friend of mine made these. I just absolutely love them. Big shout out there for David. And I love these and this. With amethyst, because the energy of the crystals and the vibrations of the crystals give us what we need. And until you experience it, I would say, don't say, oh no, that's not for me. Have a go. Go and walk into a crystal shop or wherever it is. We have a crystal showroom. Go there. Experience the energy you're going to feel when you walk in. Or maybe if you're wanting to give yourself some more nurturing and love, rose quartz is so
Yeah, it's
wonderful.
beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's pink. I love pink. But hold it. Feel what you feel when you hold it. There's a crystal called green calcite, and I'm a huge fan of that because it's for calm. All the calcites are for calming, but this is for calming and feeling relaxed. I take it to the dentist with me. The dentist said, how come you're so calm? You're not usually like this. And I said, well, this is it, because I got it in my hand. It makes such a difference.
Is
So
it a green color then?
it's a green one, yeah. Blue are great for babies, but green are wonderful for us. And then there's an orange one that also makes you smile and makes you laugh. And actually, I say to people when they cut in my workshops, here, hold an orange calcite And I'll say, see? And they all look like they're smiling and everyone starts laughing. It's fabulous. There's something I was going to mention to you earlier, actually, because I lifted it up. Play-Doh. Do you remember the
Oh,
old-fashioned Play-Doh?
yeah.
This is brilliant, a brilliant micro meditation, because you literally take the Play-Doh out and squish it and squash it and just focus on what you're doing in your hands with the squishing and the squashing and the everything else. It really is fabulous. And the other one is eating ice cream that I love. That's also mindful eating.
Mindfully, yeah, rather than shoveling it in, yeah.
Texture and everything. So, but I'm like, yeah, rather than
Brilliant.
traveling it in, let me know if you ever go with that.
Brilliant. Okay, so we've got a couple of books, but the latest one is Micro Meditation, Moments of Calm for a Happier, Healthier Life. And do you want to give us your website, Nikki, where people can find out more information about your work?
Or they can go onto my Instagram, which is Nikki NICCI Roscoe ROSCOE, or Nikki at Mind Medication, or just www.mindmedication.co.uk.
Cool. Brilliant. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thanks for joining
Oh,
us.
it's been lovely chatting to you. My absolute pleasure.
You've been listening to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio.